All work, no play. That's all I gotta say.
Yep.
Gotta come out, make some plays. No? Game about making plays.
Game day. Game day. Finally, it's here.
Pittsburgh opening game, you couldn't ask for nothing better. Nothing better.
Glad to be here, man. Bless.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
Game one is where it started at right here. Where it started.
Here we go, fellas. You guys take one play at a time, man. Take care of each other out there. Let's come away with the W, man. Let's go, man. Let's grind. Grind on three. 1, 2, 3. Grind.
Hey, we got to dominate up front, man. Dominate on three. Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
We know what we got to do. It's the best thing to get in the league. We come to prove it today, man. Every step.
The Cleveland Browns came to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on a mission today to find an opening day win and end what has been a 9-game drought in season openers. How did it unfold? It's all coming just straight up on Browns Overtime. Hi, everybody. Great to see all of you. Welcome to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Michael Regei. My partner, Nathan Zagura. Wow. It had all the ingredients for a potential, most miraculous second-half comeback for the Browns. Ultimately, it fell a little bit short. Get beat at the gun, 30-27 on a Sean Sweezum field goal. Nathan, a contrast in football performances by Mike Pettine and his football team. The first half, lethargic offensively. Defense couldn't get off the football field, prone to big plays. And then the switch flipped at halftime. How much did Mike Pettine and his staff potentially have to do with that?
Who knows, man, but they did a lot because whatever Mike Pettine said to this team at halftime, it changed the script. Down 27-3 at the half. They run off 24 straight points to not this game at 27-27. Come up short at the end. But whatever this team, when you wonder about coaching, this team clearly buys into Mike Pettine. Did they get out to a slow start? Absolutely. Did they dig themselves a hole that proved to be too big to ultimately climb out of? Yes. But the fact that they were able to come out here, not fold up, play hard in the second half, and tie this game and basically take this crowd out of it for the majority of the second half says a lot. It is not the same old Browns, even though they came up short.
There were many. Take it from us, Nathan on the sideline, me upstairs. There were many uneasy wearers of black and gold inside this building today. All right, let's begin, though, with the first half of this football game. Offensively, Browns couldn't get anything generated. Had a couple of moments with Ben Tate, who ultimately got hurt. But defensively, Nathan, I thought over-pursuing too much and were prone to big plays, and they got scalded by Roethlisberger in the first half.
They took advantage of the over-pursuit of this defense and the aggressiveness of this defense in the early going. Screens to the backside, cutback runs. The over-pursuit left huge lanes, and that's how they ate up big chunks of yards in the first half. In the second half, though, a lot more discipline for the Browns. They got to the quarterback, 4 sacks on the day, and really the Steelers couldn't do anything. So what the Browns can at least take away from this is that for one half of football, they absolutely dominated a very good Pittsburgh Steelers team here in Pittsburgh.
They very much did, no question about that. Now, before we make the transition to the second half, offensively, pretty simple. The Browns huddled, you know, before they went to the line of scrimmage and snapped the football. They couldn't gain any consistency. That was obvious. But Nathan, when Kyle Shanahan decided to go up-tempo, push the pace, go hurry up in the second half, even the great Dick LeBeau was befuddled and on his heels.
No question. The first half, they couldn't get anything going, couldn't sustain drives, couldn't convert on third downs. But it seemed like Brian Hoyer got significantly more comfortable once they went to that hurry up. They had the Steelers off balance. They were gashing them in the run game. They were utilizing the play action and the bootlegs much more effectively. Hoyer got into a good rhythm, 12 of 13 in that third quarter, Reg. And that was when this team got back into the game.
Yeah, and let's not forget as well, Ben Tate went down, didn't see him in the second half. Jordan Cameron went down. So now you can make a case, your two most prolific offensive performers sideline, and it was masterful. And does not this play into, you just mentioned Brian Hoyer, it plays into what he does best. Decisive, efficient, football coming out, and again, going quickly, and didn't allow Pittsburgh to get their personnel group each changed.
Well, and he's a rhythm quarterback, and when you go on that hurry-up offense, you can get into that rhythm, and he certainly did that. It also really helped the way that it was setting up the run game. They were winded, the Steelers. They were getting three and outs on offense. The defense was on the field for the majority of the second half, and they really did get in that groove. And you're right, when he can get in that rhythm, the ball's out quickly, he knows where he wants to go for it, wide receivers were running free as opposed to being very covered, it changed everything for this offense. 24 points in the second half.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe something that Mike Pettine's staff will continue to discuss and evolve as this football season goes forward. Speaking of the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, let's give a listen following what was a very gut-wrenching 30-27 loss to Mike Pettine and his quarterback, Brian Hoyer.
You know, as much as I'd like to say it was a fire and brimstone speech, it really wasn't. It was, hey, obviously it was well below our standards. And we needed to start to play like us, like we knew how, settle in. And then with a lead like that, I mean, the hardest dent to take is the first one. That's why we talked about the importance of that first drive on offense. I think the leadership on this team stepped up at halftime. Coaches really didn't have to say much. Just as a changeup. I mean, it's something when you're, I don't know how many first downs we had in the first half, three maybe, two or three. I mean, that's when you talk about changing tempo, forcing teams to think a little bit faster and get lined up. And if you can get some first downs, it gets them tired and it keeps you on the field. We take out of it that we're 0-1, that I told the team afterwards. This is a pass-fail league. We failed. Proud of the effort in the second half, but it's a valuable lesson to learn. You're behind 24 points at halftime. I don't know what the percentages are of coming back and winning. But I guarantee it's probably right around one. So there are no moral victories in this league. But I was proud of the resolve and the character that showed up. These guys went out and executed the plan in the second half. It wasn't enough. They made basically one more play than we did. And it's a valuable lesson, but it doesn't change the fact that we're 0-1. They did, and to their credit, they weren't wide-eyed. I mean, they went in there and executed. I thought Crowell was a great change of pace. Or, you know, when you go in the up-tempo and you get, you know, West hit a couple back-to-back runs, and then Crowell had to go in there and clean up a drive. I thought they both did a really good job. And that's a perfect example of Crowell really was not in this game plan. It was going to be Tate and West. And to his credit, he prepared like a starter, and he went in there and did his job.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one play after another, and those guys get a little tired, and we know exactly what we're doing, and it's quick. And obviously, you guys saw how successful it was. So it's something that obviously we'll have to keep doing. But we got to improve on the other stuff too. We can't, you know, get down to the whatever yard line it is on the first drive and then not move the ball the rest of the first half. So, like I said, it's great to see the character of the team that we have, knowing that we'll never quit. We'll fight back. We'll scratch, claw our way back. And, you know, the margin for error in this league is so small that you have to capitalize on every opportunity you have. Yeah, I don't think anybody was down. I think people realized, you know, there's 30 more minutes of football to play. And, you know, I think we just decided as a team, you know, let's go out and just give it everything we got. And I think the biggest thing is now, you know, we showed ourselves what we're capable of. And you just have to go out and do it for four quarters. You can't wait. Like I said, in this league, it's too hard.
All right, Nathan. So, again, the one thing we know about Mike Pettine is, as we said, you know, this is a disheartening loss on opening day. A football game was right there hanging to the balance. Yet, Pettine and his coaching staff are going to stay the course. They believe in this system, and this system maybe took a step today.
Absolutely, it did. They dominated the Steelers in Pittsburgh in the second half of this game. There's no two ways about it. Dug too big of a hole early, but the fact that he was able to go into that locker room at halftime, motivate these guys to come out and perform at that high of a level, speaks a lot about Mike Pettine as a coach and this team's buy-in in his system.
This running game at times, and it averaged better than 6 yards a carry, so we might be seeing the rebirth of a Browns running game going back to Mack and Biner back in the 1980s. The offensive line, I thought, too, very, very strong in what they got accomplished, especially the right side, Johnny Greco and the much maligned Mitchell Schwartz.
No question about it. 30 carries, 183 yards, and two touchdowns on the ground for the Browns. That's the recipe for success for this team. And that right side of the line became dominant. They imposed their will on the Steelers in the second half. Terrence West in his debut in the NFL, 16 carries, 100 yards. Isaiah Crowell comes in, 5 carries, 32 yards, 2 touchdowns. His first ever carry in the NFL. Ends up in a touchdown for the Browns. There's a lot of talent in this backfield, and they're going to run the ball effectively all year, Reg.
Yeah, we'll find out about Ben Tate's knee injury. He did not return following the injury of the second quarter. But the thing is that the Browns have showed today they're going to pose their will by running the football. Speaking of Terrence West, when we get back right here on Browns Overtime, you'll hear from the young man out of Towson. 16 carries, 100 yards
century
in his
mark.
NFL debut. Very nicely done. More Browns Overtime coming up. Don't go away.